And when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, it's not that they didn't know prayers. The Jews prayed seven times a day, and they knew the prayers. They had the prayers memorized, and they would say them at certain times, and they would be done. So why are they asking Jesus, teach us how to pray? They already knew prayers. It's because Jesus was praying in a different way. He wasn't just praying at those times. They were saying their prayers, and then they got that done. They got that done. Prayer for them was just one part of their life. And then after that, they went back to the other parts of their lives. And Jesus wasn't doing that. They said, you don't only do prayers when we do prayers, but the scriptures say there were times when Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. Every day, they would see Jesus move away from them and from the world to go spend time with his Father. And they were wondering, what are you doing? What are you doing at those times? You can't just be saying the prayers. We already said those prayers. Teach us how to do that like you're doing it. And so he does. Teach us how to pray. They were probably wondering, what are you even doing all night? Because if you don't really have that relationship with the Lord, after about 30 seconds, you're done praying. What else do I have to say? You know, I told God, thanks for the chili beans and the hot dogs. And I said, you know, help Uncle Joe to get better. And, help all the poor people. I guess I'm done. That's it. When you're in relationship with the Lord, what he wants is he wants prayer to become natural to us, to where we're doing it all day long. A relationship is something you have all day long with someone. And he says, you can learn to do that. And I want to teach you to do that. But you're not ready to do it right now, not until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit had not come yet. And Jesus said, when Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit is my Spirit and my Father's Spirit. And if you live in our Spirit, then we will become real to you. And you will know me, and you will know my Father. And that's why Peter said in his letter, you love Jesus, you love the Lord, even though you've never seen him. Peter was with Jesus, he knew him. But now Jesus is back in heaven, and yet the people love him. How many of us can say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord? And Jesus says, that's because it's the Holy Spirit that's connecting you. That's my Spirit. And so he says, but apostles, you know, if you want to know what I'm doing when I go out all night, he says, here's what I'm doing. I pray in a personal way because the Father and I are one. When you see me go out each day, I'm gazing upon the stars that he and I created, and I'm praising him for their beauty. I see the sun, and I praise him for its light. And I feel the fullness of light that is within myself. Jesus is the light. I praise my Father for each animal that I see that is a unique expression of his love for creation. In the sounds of nature, I praise him for the gift of hearing that he gave to man, along with his other senses. And then I dwell on man, created in our image, with an intellect to think, a memory to daily reconnect himself to us, and a free will to choose to love us. I thank my Father for all the good and holy souls who do love us. But then I feel sorrow as I see so many who love themselves. I feel deep sadness at how sin has disfigured man and made him unrecognizable to heaven. And then in my sadness, I pray for him. I intercede for him. I lift every person who will ever exist on earth up to the mercy of my Father. That's what Abraham was doing in our first reading, right? He's saying, you know, you're going to destroy the whole town, but what if there's 50? What if there's 20, you know? He's interceding for the people. I ask my Father to look at me, his son, here to give his life for them. I pray for all those who do not know God, those who don't believe in him, those who hate him, those who worship our enemy, the devil, those who are addicted to the false pleasures of this low world. And then after that, I return to thanksgiving as I sing the Psalms or I quote the scriptures. Jesus knew the Old Testament. So he would sing the Psalms. He would quote the scriptures to his Father. And so my time away from you with my Father is an experience of praise, thanksgiving, and intercession. And this is how I want you to pray from your heart in a personal way. I'm opening up spirit converse between earth and heaven. Don't let your past get in the way. Don't let your sin get in the way. Don't let your weakness get in the way. Jesus says, you and I will work on those things together. I'll heal you. Don't get discouraged. Pray. Come to me. So when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Our. There's only one Father. There's only one God. And there's only one human family. One and one. And so we have no enemies. We are one family. You might not like certain people, and they probably don't like you, but that's okay. You can still love them, right? You can still care about people. They can care about you if we want to. One family. And there's one God and Father. But you know, maybe you don't have a good father, or maybe you didn't have a good father. And then our Heavenly Father would say, well, now you've had an experience of what a bad father is like, so why don't you just let me be your good father? You know what a good father is. It's just the opposite of whatever father you had, sadly. So let me be the good father you didn't have. That's what I would do. And then if I didn't have a good mother or don't have a good mother, I would let Mary be the mother that I didn't have or don't have. And if my brothers and sisters don't like me, well, I got plenty of saints up there in heaven that love me. They think I'm pretty amazing. So I'll let them be my brothers and sisters. So our Father, who dwell in heaven, that's where you are. That's where your kingdom is in its fullness. And that's where I want to dwell while I'm here on earth. That's where I want to be. I want to hover above this low world as I live in it. I don't want to live according to the way everybody lives. I want to live according to the way the angels live, the saints live. They love. They smile, they're joyful, they're happy. They serve, they sacrifice, they forgive. Who dwell in heaven, that's my true home. I want to listen to the voice of heaven. So many voices in this world. I want to listen to your voice, Father. Speak to me. Who dwell in heaven, holy be your name. I don't want to sin anymore. If I sin, Lord, it's going to be out of weakness. And I'll say, I'm sorry. That's why I go to confession. But it's not because I want to. It's not because I don't love you. It's because there's weakness there. And Jesus says, yeah, you live in a broken world. You live in a weak world. And there are temptations. There is weakness. But if you don't want it and you're striving, then we're still good. We're still good. So sadly, that human beings, we have a tendency to drag God down into the gutter with us. And we think that since we all cuss, you know, that's what you do, especially when you're younger. I know that's what we did. It's like, that's what you do. And if you're a contract, if you're a construction worker, my goodness, you don't know how to live without cussing. It's your language. It's your second, it's your first language. And Jesus said, none of us do that up here. My children, do you listen to how you speak? Do you hear the tone of your voice? Nobody speaks like that in heaven. Nobody's tone of voice is like that. Why are you complaining about everybody? Why are you complaining as you go through your day? Nobody complains up here, so why are you doing that? You know, when you're younger, we say boys will be boys. Well, we're all lustful. Boys only want one thing. And God said none of the boys up here want one thing. They want to love. They want to be pure. So why are you trying to drag heaven into the gutter with you? We won't go there. If you try to drag us down there, we stay away from you. Oof, you smell too bad. We're trying to pull you up out. There. Now you can breathe the fresh air of beauty and holiness. God, our Father, has always had to remind the human race. Remember, even back 4,000 years ago with Abraham, I, the Lord your God, am holy. For 4,000 years, he's been having to tell us that. He still has to tell us to us today. So make a decision. I'm going to live like you live up there, holy, happy, whole. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if your kingdom was here? And Jesus says, but it won't come on earth until you let it come into you. So it has to come into your mind and your heart and heal you and fill you. And then it goes through you to everyone else. And this coming Friday, I really encourage you to come to my talk on the divine will. Because Jesus would say to us, he's doing an amazing thing. He's getting ready to do the greatest thing that he's ever done since he created us. He's getting ready to return us all the way back, almost to the way we were in the beginning. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, they had two natures, human and divine, because God breathed his spirit into them. Which of those two natures was running the show? The divine. The divine was their very life, and their human nature just went along for the ride. That's why they were so beautiful and holy and perfect. Once they lost the divine nature, ever since then, you and I have been living out of our broken, fallen natures. Thank God, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He died to forgive our sins and rebreathed the Holy Spirit back into us. Then why are we still struggling? Why is impatience and anger, why is it still tempting me? It shouldn't be. And Jesus says, the problem is that even though I rebreathed the Spirit into you, I didn't rebreathe it in a way where it took possession of your life and became your very life, like Adam and Eve had it. They were naturally patient. If you had my divine life, my Spirit, as your life, you would feel patient all day long. You would feel loving all day long. You would feel that way, naturally. You don't. But I'm getting ready to return the human race back to the way it was, almost to the perfect state it was in. And that's what my talk's going to be about on Friday, 6 o'clock, right here. How do we not only do the will of God, struggling with temptation, struggling with problems and weaknesses, but how do we not only do the will of God, but actually live in it and have it as our very life, to where the struggles can go away, we can be healed? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Yeah, of course. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the sun and the moon and the water and the gravity and everything, because without that, there's no grass, there's no bees, there's no animals, and then we all die. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for our daily bread. Help me to be happy with the beans and the tortillas and the hot dogs, whatever you give me. Help me be happy with whatever you give me. Our daily bread. But more than that, we need the spiritual bread, right? We have to have the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, ask for spiritual bread. Come, Holy Spirit. Ask for the hunger for the Eucharist, hunger for daily Mass, hunger for reconciliation in the confessional, hunger for my word, hunger for my teachings, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's a huge one, right? Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free from my own sin, free from my own wounds and my traumas and my past. And so forgive me. Forgive me and heal me. Come, Holy Spirit. And then I want to be free from unforgiveness towards all my neighbors, everybody who has hurt me, because that's just going to hurt me and hurt them. And so I let it go. I let it go. And then lastly, protect us from temptation and from the evil one. We recognize, Jesus says, you know, you're not home yet, okay? You guys, you're not home yet. You're in a war zone. Do you realize that? The earth is a war. The entire earth is a war zone. And there is an enemy who prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. He hates us. We're in the image and likeness of God. He's not. He's condemned for all eternity. And he says, I can't hurt God, can't do anything against God, but I can get them. I can drag them into the gutter, into the darkness. Hopefully, maybe I can condemn them. That's what he wants. So we recognize. Jesus says, recognize, you're in a war zone. But aren't soldiers proud? Soldiers are proud of their country. My daddy's so proud, he wears his hat. His Navy, was in the Navy, USS Brown, USS Brown. He wears it everywhere. It looks horrible. It's ugly now. It's 40 years old or something. It's a cap. But he's proud. He's proud. That's because we're proud to fight. We're proud to be soldiers. And Jesus says, I want you to be proud. Recognize you're in a war zone. There is a battle. But you're proud because you belong to the light. You belong to the light. It's a joyful battle, in other words. That's what we're in. It's a joyful battle to be on the side of Christ. So that's kind of that's the Our Father. Isn't it a beautiful personal prayer? And so do your best to always, anytime when you pray, when you make that time for prayer, Jesus, I always want to make it personal. If I'm praying the rosary, if I'm reading the scriptures, if I'm singing, whatever I'm doing, my form of prayer, I always want it to be personal. I want it to come from my heart to your heart. And Jesus says, good, because this is how I want you to pray.